Well, tonight I want to share some things. This, as we know, is the chronological time when the Passover was being prepared in Jerusalem and in the Middle East during that time, the last week of Jesus's life. And we definitely do have some wonderful resources if you're looking for a number of things to read and familiarize yourself with. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Victor Paul Werwell entitled Jesus Christ, Our Passover, which is a detailed study of the last week of Jesus' life and the things following the resurrection. There's also two books I would recommend by David Berge. One of them is called Jesus Christ, Our Complete Offering, and the other one is Jesus Christ, Our Approach Offering. These are wonderful resources amongst many other things that you can find as you would search and research and look for information about the details and the studying of all of the things and the perfection of what the timing was like when these things came to pass. But in the simplicity of it, what I really wanted to share tonight was kind of just to be able to extract something from one of the records that is sort of chronologically tied to today, which would have been what they call the 13th of Nisan, which would have started at sunset today. So we'll really be on the eve of our Monday. And that would have been their Tuesday in Bible times. And so I've entitled this teaching tonight, The Touch of the Master's Hand. When I was visiting in Japan last year on a mission trip, I guess we'll call it, they had an interesting custom. And it was, please remove your shoes before entering. When visiting people in their homes, traditionally you would leave your shoes at the front door and put on a pair of slippers, or maybe you wore socks. Even in the U.S., some people remove their shoes before entering, or they actually ask their guests or require their guests to do it. I don't know if it's because they're trying to keep their white carpet clean or their white carpet white. I'm not sure. I know the place that we stayed in Japan was kind of a more of a dormitory type place. There were a number of us there, but everybody took their shoes off when we came in the front door. But then they had other shoes like house shoes and slippers and this sort of thing that you could put on. So, you know, the point is that there's these cultural things that vary from culture to culture and country to country. And the Bible times, those who were entering homes and visiting others in the Bible times, they had their own unique culture too. Generally, the washing of the feet was the first act on entering the tent or the house of an individual after a journey. Now, sometimes this happens in California, maybe Leanne, you can relate, in a warmer culture, a lot of times they wear sandals. Well, the people in the Middle East generally wore sandals. And this washing and cleansing was a very refreshing thing to do when you were coming out from the outside, because the culture is dusty and there's a lot of, your feet would get dirty. In the case of ordinary people, the host would furnish the water and the guests washed their own feet. But in the richer houses were people of privilege. They would normally have a servant or a slave who would perform that duty. And so, understandably, it was really kind of looked upon as the lowest of all the services. Guests come, rich man's house, or people of who have resources. A slave or a servant then performs this washing so the guests don't have to do it. Well, I want to look at John chapter 13 a little bit here this evening. This corresponds really to the last day of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, being the 13th of Nisan. We're going to fast forward a little bit and go to the end, towards the end of the meal that was occurring at that point in time. And I want to just look at it briefly with you, because Jesus did a really unusual thing. In verse 4 of John chapter 13, it says, he rises from supper, he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that he had poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? You are? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but you're going to know afterwards. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus responded, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter, as his manner was, said unto him in verse 9, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands, my head, just wash everything about me. He was quite a character. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So Jesus did this very most unusual thing, kind of on the heels of that last meal and the last day of his life. He washed the disciples' feet. It was really interesting because Jesus' attitude of being a servant was in direct contrast to that of the disciples, who had recently been arguing among themselves as to which of them was going to be the greatest. And they actually began to ask Jesus that question. Record of that's in Luke 22. We aren't taking the time to look at it tonight. But they said, who's going to be the greatest among us? And his answer is quite interesting. You see, so there was no servant present in this environment where these people were gathered to wash their feet. You know what? It would never have occurred to those folks there that maybe they should wash one another's feet. When the Lord himself dropped down to perform this lowly task, you can imagine they were stunned into silence, and they really became primed for what's recorded now in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. This is the NIV. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You notice in John 13:15, he told them, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. So does it make any sense, any less sense, that we now as his followers shouldn't see and learn from him? And what is the lesson of the washing of the disciples' feet? Could it be by serving one another in lowliness of heart and mind and seeking to build one another up in humility, in love? As Jesus revealed in Matthew 20:28, he said he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This wonderful and loving act, it certainly foreshadowed his ultimate act of humility and love that he ultimately paid when he gave his life at Calvary. This act of humility from the heart of a servant certainly demonstrated to those in that time and ever since that time the beauty of selfless service, the desire to take care of others, and yes, to think with the mind of Christ, according to Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who took upon himself the form of a servant, and he served. Ladies and gentlemen, these truths that we learn from the example of Jesus Christ certainly can be symbolic of our role today in the body of Christ. I want to share a couple of scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Jan shared these the other day in the Aramaic Peshitta New Testament. Verse 1 says, I therefore, a prisoner in our Lord, beg you that you should walk as is proper for the calling that you were called, with all humbleness of mind and quietness and long-suffering, and hold up one another in love, and be diligent to keep the alliance of the Spirit with the girdle of peace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 in the New Living Version. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another. How? Humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How about right now? And throughout every day, we honor the work of our Lord Jesus Christ by giving thanks and bowing in humble adoration to our Almighty God, pouring out praise upon praise upon praise. For as the title of this teaching says, truly, we have been touched by the Master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, and $2? Only two? $2, and who make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who make it two? 2,000, who make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice. And going, and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. We do not quite understand. What changed its worth? And swiftly came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. God, you're so good. Thank you for touching all of our lives and helping us, Father, to recognize and realize during these interesting, challenging times we live in, how precious we are, Father, to you, and you reached down in your gracious goodness and love and rescued us out of this dark world and did something really miraculous for us, Father. So thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Wow. Okay, well, tomorrow night again, we're going to be meeting at 7:30. Again, we're going to be hosting a communion service on Wednesday on the phone. So please plan accordingly. We certainly love you and thank God for you. And you all are so precious and wonderful and valuable. So I'm going to take everybody off mute and we can all say our goodbyes, okay? God bless you guys.
All participants are muted. All participants are unmuted. Goodbye.